As you've heard me say before, the acoustic value of your space matters a lot. It matters more than your microphone and just as much as your content, but that doesn't mean your microphone doesn't matter at all, or that the hundreds of other things involved in the production of every single podcast episode you record don't matter at all either. There's simply a prioritized list of priorities. The last thing on the priority list, in that it is the last thing you do, might be argued by some to be the most critical make or break item in all of audio production, and that is the mastering. Mastering is an elusive skill that isn't very well understood by most podcasters, and to be fair to us podcasters, it's also not very well understood by most audio engineers. Something that's evidenced by the fact that a mastering engineer is a highly sought after and specialized professional within the audio industry. The creator creates, the audio engineer edits and engineers, but the last person to touch any professional-grade audio project is the mastering engineer. They are the sprinkles on your sundae. They bring the pizzazz, the pop, the last little bit of awesome sauce. To simplify it, mastering is the process of perfecting the mix so as to create the source file that all other copies are made from. So mastering is less a specific task or series of technical executions and more so an art, where the artist, in this case the mastering engineer, decides whether the art is good enough to be a master. This means that there's no right or wrong way to master, just ways which produce differing results. And some of those results can suck pretty badly if you don't have the golden ears necessary to tweak that EQ in just the right place, or segment that compressor into a couple of extra bands to get all the clarity with none of the crunchiness, or to, well, basically, make what is already good more good, perfect, masterful. In today's episode, I'm going to be speaking with audio engineer and brand strategist at Remaster Media, Peter Greco. We're going to talk about a service that's not exactly new, but is certainly beginning to make new waves as it moves out from behind the scenes of big brands like Rolex and into the consumer market of indie creators. He's going to talk to us a little bit about that service, tell us how it works, and tell us how it can be utilized specifically by and for podcasters. So stay tuned, because I'm Tanner Campbell, and this is Help the Podcast. Before we get started, I want to set your expectations for this first interview-style episode here on Help the Podcast. Ordinarily, I would invite people into my studio, even if that meant flying them to Maine from, in Peter's case, New York. However, it's December 2020 as this is being recorded, and we're still very much, as a nation and a planet, in the throes of COVID-19, and in the throes of all the restrictions and concerns that come along with it. So for that reason, I couldn't have Peter in studio, and I would frankly be darned if I was going to use Zoom to interview a fellow audio engineer about an audio engineering and mastering tool. So instead, I sent Peter my questions ahead of time, and he sent me his recorded answers a week or so later. For this reason, the interview has a bit of a to-the-point feel to it. This is because I asked Peter to keep his answers short, for the sake of the show format. This is supposed to be fewer than 15 minutes. And because we're not in any way interacting the way we would in a real conversation, so it's not very intimate. But don't let that dissuade you from listening to the entire episode, please. And know that in the future, as this world returns to normal, interviews on this podcast will be done in person at the Portland Pod Studios in Maine. I asked Peter 5 questions, and the first was whether or not he could briefly summarize what Remaster, an online tool that takes your audio and masters it automatically, is all about and who exactly would be interested in using it.
Remaster Media's core technology is a patented algorithm that processes sound at a ridiculously granular level. This same technology is currently being used in medical and aviation applications to bring out things like depth, definition, character, and power. And it's exactly how it affects music or the spoken word. And we designed it to satisfy everybody from recording engineers, emerging indie artists, podcast producers, all the way to vloggers, TikTok video makers, and Instagram story creators. We created a variety of mastering profiles that these folks can choose from based on the type of content they produce and their own specific tastes. So no matter what you choose, Remastered Media always remains faithful to what you've produced and what you've created by bringing out all of the detail you built into your production.
So like a lot of any done-for-you audio tools, like Descript for transcription or Auphonic for engineering, or even the plugins with presets you use in your digital audio workstation, Remaster is a tool that simplifies a bunch of technical processes to the benefit of your time and the quality of your audio. Of course, you still need to provide it with good work first because, well, you can't put lipstick on a pig and pass it off as anything other than a pig with slightly nicer lips. But automation of any kind finds a lot of its benefit in saving you time and in making good results more accessible to those without the engineering skills to do those things manually. But what about podcasters? How does the Remaster service fit in for podcasters specifically?
Well, I think there's a really key benefit to podcasters. As you know, the world of podcasting has blown up like crazy with tons of programming being created. And the buzzwords I keep hearing now are broadcast ready. That means everything you do and everything you create has to sound professionally produced. I know of some podcasts that are actually kicked back for either being non-compliant with the tech specs or the audio quality is simply substandard. So, how do you compete with the pros sitting in a fully outfitted recording studio? Well, that's what Remaster Media is really designed to do. It's designed to give those folks a tool, a leg up, so that what they produce in their project studios sounds just like it's being recorded in a professional recording studio. A lot faster, a lot cheaper, and with equal quality. Sometimes better.
When Peter says, quote-unquote, non-compliant with the tech specs, he's referencing loudness normalization and peak normalization. These are the minus 16 lufs or minus 14 lufs or minus 1.5 dBTP, that's dB true peak values that you've read about in the podcast editing groups on Facebook or argued about with your other podcast creating friends. Loudness normalization is this whole thing on forums online, and everyone has an opinion about how loud something should be, but the emerging standards are what they are, and Remaster will handle this for you, which is extremely helpful. But I would kick back a bit on, quote, so that what they produce in their project studios sounds just like it's being recorded in a professional recording studio, end quote. Remaster isn't going to fix your room. If you've got a reverb-filled room that sounds like an empty gymnasium, Remaster isn't going to make that sound like a professional recording studio. But Peter is an audio engineer, and when he says project studio, he's making some assumptions about the acoustic value of your space because a project studio isn't a spare bedroom. At least it's not a spare bedroom that hasn't been very heavily invested in as far as acoustics are concerned. So please don't think that Peter is telling you that your bathroom is going to go from sounding like a bathroom to sounding like Abbey Road or even a vocal booth. That's just not how audio works. I wanted to know a little more about where in the process this would be used. Is it something you do in the beginning or in the middle or in the end? Like, where are we using in our workflow as editors, either as professional podcast editors or as just podcast creators editing for ourselves? Where in the process are we doing this? First? Middle? Last? Here's what he had to say.
So I was recently given dialogue from a podcast being produced, a moderator and a guest. The moderator was in a recording studio and the guest was recorded through a phone line. The moderator sounded good, but the person on the phone sounded thin and scratchy, like you would expect. So I took the phone responses, processed them with Remaster Media, and brought that dialogue to a much more acceptable, pleasing quality. I gave the stems back to the producer to edit into the interview, who then mastered the fully produced interview with Remaster to enhance the whole podcast. And coming soon, we'll actually have a way for producers to master live-streamed audio phone calls or Zoom calls in real time.
Now, all that sounds pretty excellent, especially the last bit about real-time processing in a live recording environment. Right now, Remaster is an online tool, so that might mean they're developing some sort of Zencaster or Squadcaster-type platform to connect participants, or maybe even a plugin. More on that in a minute. But I wanted to give Peter a chance to clarify just how much this tool actually does. Is it going to do all my engineering for me? Is it going to do all my editing for me? Is it the only tool I need in my arsenal?
No. Producers still need to make editorial and engineering decisions on their productions. Remaster Media doesn't help you create your product. We're that very last step that helps it come to life. Whatever detail you build into it, we help bring that out. We can, however, help correct certain audio problems, as I explained previously, with the phone interview. And we also have a series of noise reduction profiles that can be utilized if there's a lot of background noise that needs to be eliminated. Say you're producing a live on the street podcast, you might benefit from running it through one of our profiles to eliminate serious background information.
Okay, well, who doesn't need better background noise removal? But that means this tool has limits, right? Or more appropriately, it means that it's not a one-button solution, and it can't be, because one-button solutions don't exist. It's you who has to put in most of the work, and while Remaster can tweak what you've already made and make it better, and can do so quickly and produce incredible results, there's no way to make a Zoom call sound like a concert at the Sydney Opera House. But if you've got a decent recording environment, and you're taking care with your recording practices, you've got good technique, and you're putting in the work to do good writing for the show, then you can probably take a 6 or 7 out of 10 and crank it up to a 9 or 10 out of 10 with Remaster. Or if you're just struggling with compression and loudness, Remaster seems like a pretty strong contender for quick and good fix of the week. Just remember, when algorithms do it for you, you don't learn yourself. And that's a trade-off of a kind, but your goal may not be, and probably shouldn't be, to become an audio engineer. So a tool like Remaster, saving you time and money and shortcutting you to find a better finished product, you know, that sounds pretty good if you're a podcast creator. The last thing I asked Peter was whether or not this web-only product would be moving from the web into the DAW with a VST plugin anytime soon.
Yes, and we're pretty excited about it. It'll be a DAW-implemented plugin, which you would put in your stereo output bus in Logic, Pro Tools, GarageBand, as well as the video editorial platforms like Final Cut or Premiere. It'll allow the user to have the same Remaster Media technology, but at their fingertips, right in their workstation and part of their workflow. They'll also have a bit more control of certain parameters, but the same mentality implies: simple and powerful. You make the EQ, compression, and reverb decisions, we make them sound better. We're in the process of tweaking the code, testing out a beta version with some of our engineering partners, and the hope is that sometime in Q1 of 2021, we'll be offering it up under the Remaster Media Pro banner. I will keep you posted for sure on when that release will happen.
My suggestion ordinarily would be to wait for the plugin. However, right now, Remaster Media is offering a lifetime license for just $59 on AppSumo.com. If you know what AppSumo is already, you don't need me to explain it, but if you don't, AppSumo features new-to-market products, mostly software-as-a-service or SaaS products, for between $50 and $100 on average for lifetime access. That's a lifetime license. You pay once, you get it forever. Now, of course, these deals don't last forever, but in Remaster's case, you're talking $59 instead of the retail of $1,920. So to call that a deal is a bit of an understatement. If you would like to find out more about Remaster Media, you can visit their website at remastermedia.com. And if you're interested in taking advantage of that AppSumo deal, well, there's a link in the description of this episode, so be sure to look there for that. My takeaway and suggestion, my opinion, this tool is kind of a no-brainer. So at least go check it out. Thanks for listening today. I'd like to thank Peter Greco of Remaster Media for taking time out of his busy schedule to collaborate with me on this episode and to provide a high-level overview of Remaster Media's service to all of you. Next week, I'll be talking about compression and loudness normalization, but until then, happy podcasting and take care.